League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Time show on Toledo Sports Leader 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone—a home run!
Wow!
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Blocked the shot, sent Gretzky in, 3-0, Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it! DeMarco! 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? It's Thursday, and this is Drive Time, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. As always, this show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. We're in the showroom tonight. A lot of great deals up here at the Superstore. I'll be talking about those as the hour moves along. We're going to talk golf at 5:15 tonight. Rob Oller will join us. Columbus Dispatch golf writer has covered majors for years. I'll go up and down the leaderboard for you here in just a moment. 5:35 tonight, author, writer, historian Bob Duff will join us, of course, the Detroit Red Wings this weekend, with the Montreal Canadiens coming to the Joe Louis Arena on Saturday night, and the New Jersey Devils coming there on Sunday. That'll do it for the Joe Louis Arena. That building opened up a long time ago, December of 1979, and it was a basketball game. The University of Detroit against the University of Michigan opened the building, a lot of history, a lot of different things. Had a personal experience myself there calling a Stanley Cup final. But the Joe, well, a lot of people with the history. Listen, I get the memories, I get the history, I get all the good times. But it's time to move on. That great new facility you can see from I-75 will be open next year. Little Caesars Arena, new home of the Detroit Red Wings again next season. So we're going to talk about some of the memories in the Joe that Bob Duff has had over the years. He's done about three or four tremendous pictorials on the Joe Louis Arena and the Red Wings. He even has some old books that contain photographs of the building prior to that, which was probably one of my favorites. That was the old Olympia Stadium down on the Grand River. So a little hockey tonight, a little bit of golf as well with the Masters going on. If you just got in your car, not good news for the Tigers right now. That game is in the seventh inning in Chicago. No rain there. The rain we're getting now probably is what you got in Chicago yesterday. The Chicago White Sox all over the Detroit Tigers at this juncture. Now make it 11-1. Just had a refresh here. 11-1 White Sox. That is in the bottom of the seventh inning. Nobody out. Matt Boyd started today. He had a rough outing, obviously. And it's ironic, the two guys that basically battled for that fifth starting position for the Detroit Tigers, Anibal Sanchez and Matt Boyd, both those pitchers have seen action today against the White Sox home opener tomorrow. But Boyd gave up a total of 5 earned runs. Sanchez, 5 earned runs. Both of those pitchers gave up 3-run homers. Alex Wilson has given up a run as well. But it's all Chicago White Sox today in game number two for the Tigers. The Indians are at the top of the heap, and the Central will probably do something in them on Monday. They're 3-0. They are in Arizona tonight. The scoreboard for the Masters right now, the real story down at Augusta National today is the wind. It's actually one of those days where the ball is moving on the greens once it's been marked. Players very cautious in some of the things going down there. Not great scores, but here's the leaderboard right now from Augusta National. William McGirt's at 3-under par today. He has finished his round. Hoffman's at 3-under par as well. He is through 12. Jason Duffner through 16 is 2-under. Russell Henley, who won last week, in Houston, Russell Henley is 1-under par. Leaderboard with notable players. Good round today for Phil Mickelson at the age of 46. He is 1-under par. Justin Rose has finished with his round. Mickelson's finished, by the way. Rose has finished 1-under par. Sergio is at 1-under through 12 as well. Rahm, the guy that everybody's talking about, another Spaniard, he's 1-under par through 11. Up and down the list, Ernie Els through 16, even par today, which... this is his last automatic qualification after his win at Augusta National. His exemptions are up after this year. But Els, even par today, up and down the leaderboard. Couples, how about Freddie Couples at 51? A plus one today for him. Fowler was plus one as well. So that's some news from Augusta National. We'll be talking golf with Rob Aller at about 5:15. Again, Bob Duff coming up as well. All right, everybody, stick around. This is Drive Time. It is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. One of my favorites right here. Hey, truck guys, listen to this one. New 2017 Ram 1500, four-wheel drive, four-door, crew cab. How about this? A $138 a month lease right here at the Superstore. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Better yet, come up and see one of the great sales associates or the Low Payment King himself. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Back with Rob Aller after this timeout.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. My name is Mike Miller. Again, Bob Duff coming up at 5:35 tonight. We're talking about the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. The Red Wings host the Canadiens on Saturday night. Then the New Jersey Devils come to town on Sunday, and that's it on the Joe. But first things first, talking a little golf with Rob Aller. Rob, as always, great to have you on board. Thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it. I'm sure you watched a little golf today. It's raining up here in the northern part of the state in southeast Michigan. What's the weather report down in Columbus?
Mike, it's cruddy. It's windy. I think we're getting 40-mile-per-hour gusts. It's not too unlike what's happening at Augusta National today with all the wind confusing the fellas down there. They don't really know what to do with the breeze and the gusts. So, of course, that said, it's my favorite day of the year. A lot of people like the first day of March Madness. I like the first day of the Masters because it means golf season has arrived in the north.
Yep, and I asked you about that weather report, a perfect segue, because I knew you would jump right into the storyline today at Augusta National. That is the weather, of course. As you mentioned, gust up to 40 miles an hour. The scoring, a couple of guys at 3-under. Phil came in at 1-under par, and we'll be watching the leaderboard throughout this show here, of course, this afternoon. A big story, of course, everybody knows by now, not being redundant, but Dustin Johnson, I watched him warm up today. He was in the practice area. He came out, started, of course, like most pros do, with the short wedges and moved through the bag, got to the driver, seemed a little bit tentative, made his way to the first tee, and finally just said, you know what? Probably thinking this through, why possibly jeopardize the rest of a season and play like this and feel like this and, you know, risk another type of injury? You know what happens here a lot of times? One part of your body starts bothering you, so all of a sudden you start favoring another part of your body. Then lo and behold, you're battling something for a year. So I know he was disappointed, but a good choice.
Yeah, it was disappointing from a fan standpoint, too. I think a lot of probably Masters pools had DJ, and he pulled out at the last minute, so I don't know what that means. But for for just the fans watching, I was really interested to see how he would do. I mean, he's playing so well. He's so long off the tee. You know, he has sort of that mindset. I know we've talked before about he's sort of the non-thinking man's golfer, and that may benefit him. He doesn't overthink things at all. So maybe at Augusta with wind or whatever, he'd have been the guy. But, you know, that's not to be. So we move on to the next guys. And, you know, whether it's going to be Justin Rose or, you know, at the memorial down at Muirfield Village in Dublin, Ohio, we're familiar with William McGirty. He won the tournament last year, Jack's tournament. So here he is leading the Masters. We know a little bit about him. And I think it's anybody's game, including Lefty. Lefty right there because he knows the course so well, and he's pretty crafty with the short game.
Again, talking to Rob Aller, talking about the Masters, the 2017 version here on Drive Time. Last year, number 12, of course, Jordan Spieth, quadruple bogey. He made another one today, by the way. That was at 15. So two quads in his last two rounds at Augusta National. Different circumstances. Last year at 12 in a shot where experience, of course, is the real key. Kind of ballooned one off to the right there in the tournament. Ends up, you know, the green jacket to Danny Willett. Makes a double on, or quadruple today on 15, by the way. You're going to see some big numbers today. Tell me a little bit about, in your career, covering golfers and what they've said about, you know, recovering from disasters such as Greg Norman had to in the past, you know, such as Spieth, who seems to handle this very, very well, but not an easy thing to do to get circumstances like that out of your mind.
Man, Mike, you are so right. It's such a mental game, and I have believed that last year's blow-up at number 12 was going to leave a mark with our guy Spieth, and I think it did initially. And you know, you have to rid those ghosts somehow. And he got through 12 today fine, but then it jumped up and bit him at 15 with just some poor shot making. I watched that hole. I watched him play that, and was un-Spieth like. So I think there's still some cobwebs in there doing some damage. He's strong-minded. I think he will bounce back. He's so young. But we shall see, I guess, because it didn't look good at 15, I'll say that.
Hey, tell me a little bit about Jason Day, and everybody knows the story now, of course, with his mother battling cancer, successful surgery. I saw his interview earlier in the week. His spirit's a lot better, but I'm sure there's still a lot of apprehension and worry in that man's soul right now. Last time I saw his score, he was at the 3 over par. I know you have a good working relationship with Jason Day. He's a guy I'm sure a lot of folks are rooting for this weekend. What's the latest on him, and what are you thinking?
Well, I think his mom, it's a good prognosis. I think that there's improvement, so that's a relief. But again, as we just talked with Spieth, think again, golf is so mental. It's so between the ears. It's hard enough, Mike, as those who play the game know, when everything's going great and it's all smooth sailing. When things sort of rattle around inside the old noggin there, it gets a little rough, and I think it's going to take him some time. Maybe it'll only take a round. I don't know, but it takes some time to get over these things and emotionally, you know, lock in. And I think he's such a cerebral player. He's kind of the opposite of a Dustin Johnson, I would say. You know, Jason Day thinks about everything. You know, he closes his eyes. He focuses on the shot. He doesn't just get up and hit it. So, you know, when your routine is thrown off a little bit, it's very difficult to play good golf. And now his talent is off the charts. He may have the most talent in every phase of the game as anybody out there. But I would not look for him to really contend this week. I don't know what he is at the moment. I thought I saw 4 over at one point. Maybe he got it to 3. Maybe he's better than that. But he wouldn't be one of my picks, but definitely still one of the top 10 best golfers in the world.
Yeah, Rob, he's at +2. He has finished his round right there with a group that includes Brooks Koepka, one of the up-and-coming golfers on the PGA Tour that a lot of people thought would, you know, basically contend this week. Stricker's at +2. Lee Westwood's another story here. And for some reason, this is a guy that has played pretty well over his in his later years at Augusta National and has, of course, a big rooting contingent from across the pond. And tell me a little bit about some of the older guys and experience at Augusta National when you talk about Phil. I was surprised to see today that Steve Stricker's 51 years of age. But the old guys have a distinct advantage, and that's what makes this so intriguing and appealing at times. It's not always the guys like Rahm. It's not always the guys like Dustin Johnson hitting at 350 to 370. Other things come into play here, and that's experience and ball placement on the greens at Augusta National.
Well, one of the fans' favorite players, Freddie Couples, was, you know, always contending. I think 21 straight cuts, something ridiculous at the Masters. You know, he just knows the course. I mean, let's get right down to it. When it comes to the Masters, it's pretty much about the greens and ball placement off the tee. The greens, you know, the more experience you have, the better you're going to be on these greens, which are just crazy. You know, the undulations, it just takes time to learn them. It takes years to learn them, unless I guess you're Tiger or Jack. But the guy I think is interesting to watch, and I'm never been a huge fan of Sergio Garcia. But, you know, as I age, as he ages, as we all age, I kind of get a soft spot for some of these guys to break through. And Sergio, obviously, he's never won a major. Maybe the best player not to win a major, that tag no one wants. He's playing pretty well. I wouldn't mind seeing Sergio win it. I think I heard something today on the telecast, broadcast, Mike, that there's no players in their 60s. That may be the first time that this has happened. I think O'Meara might be 59, and there's no players in their 60s. So that's kind of unusual. I guess the game is trending a little younger. But love to watch the old guys or older guys compete. That's why, you know, Mickelson's fun to watch. And I still think one of these young guys, John Rahm, boy, I like that kid, Spaniard. He hits a long, deft touch around the greens, and he's won this year. So watch out for that guy, John Rahm.
Hey, listen, you have two guys that I have on my team. I'm in a pool where you select seven players, and I have both Rahm, and I'm with you on Sergio. You know, I'd like to see him break through. One of the great iron players, of course, on tour right now and has not won a major. As you mentioned, probably the best a player not to win a major. Hey, I had a guy on yesterday. He's one of my favorite guests. His name is Pat Lindsay. He was a touring professional, a son of a dentist and orthodontist here in Northwest Ohio. He's about my age right now, and he does pretty well in commercial real estate. He was down in Florida. He played in the 84 Masters. He's from Toledo. He won on tour. He won the BC Open, and I had him cranked up yesterday, I think for the second time, you know, in about 2 years when we start talking about rulings. And before I let you go, I can tell you right now, one of the kindest, most gentle, appreciative, gentlemanly guys I have on the show, besides you too, Rob, of course, is Pat Lindsay, former touring pro. But did I have him cranked up yesterday on this Lexi Thompson situation? Yeah. And those folks approaching her on the 13th all with a three-shot lead at the time that turned into a one-shot deficit. Absolutely unbelievable. You've written about golf for a long, long time. When are they going to straighten this situation out? I mean, the one suggestion I have is at the end of the day, when your round's completed, no more walking out the next day when the leaders played 13 holes. Dustin Johnson's gone through this type of stuff. There's been other, you know, situations as well. Give me your take on that.
I'm with you. I think once it's over, it's over. I mean, the irony here, however you want to look at it, is if that hadn't not been called in till Monday on Lexi Thompson, she wins tournament over. So the rules aren't really gospel. That would have been a logistical nightmare. Once the tournament's over, you can't change the rules, but you can before the tournament's over. That seems hypocritical is not the right word, but it's a little odd to me. I think once you're finished, you're finished. I'll even take a step further. I'm getting a little cranked up myself here. This is supposed to be the gentleman's game. This is a game of integrity and character. This is a game where you call the rules on yourself and the penalties. Let's let that happen. You know, yes, there are officials on the course, they're supposed to watch things, and they do the best they can. But in situations where this is a call-in or an email called-in, I say let the players, you know, monitor and police themselves. And if they get caught cheating in that sport, you are blackballed. And so I say that's, you know, let them police themselves if you really believe it's a game of integrity and character.
Again, talking to Rob Oller, golf writer for the Columbus Dispatch, has covered a ton of majors, by the way. Hey, you mentioned William McGirt, the leader who won in Columbus last year down at Jack's Turn at the Memorial. So I'm sure you had a chance to talk to him. He kind of looks like the guy you play with on Saturday or Sunday morning at a 8:50 tee time someplace. Just looks like a guy that kind of, you know, saunters around the golf course and does some pretty good things. Great putting stroke. Tell us a little bit about the leader.
He is a Muni course guy all the way. He's a greenies and skins player, right? Just down to earth, kind of gets emotional, at least, you know, after winning. Who wouldn't? I got to meet Jack. I really like the guy. He's got an opinion. You know, a lot of times, Mike, there's so many guys on the tour that everyone knows the big stars, and there can be a little arrogance with the big stars, but these guys who are sort of under the radar, just the nicest guys, friendliest guys. They don't take things for granted. And I would say William McGirt is among those guys. I think he's a Kentuckian also, or maybe Tennessee also. Just a nice guy, if I may say, a guy you'd like to sit down at your favorite watering hole and throw one back of a frosty beverage, perhaps. That's the kind of guy William McGirt is.
That's the kind of guys we root for. You know, the Golf Channel did a story this week on somebody similar, and it was Pat Perez, and you kind of forget how long he has been around. But he's a favorite in the practice area of the players. He hasn't won a lot, but has made a pretty darn good living. You can bet on that. As a guy that will sit down, like you say, maybe throw back a cold one and talk golf all day. You're right. One of these mid-range guys, hard superstars, make a great living, but know who they are and appreciate things. I bet you have your DVR set like I do, Rob Oller, on Sunday and I think Monday and Tuesday night in the Golf Channel for the documentary on Jack.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be outstanding. I mean, what don't you know about Jack, you know? I mean, it's all been out there, but they seem to find ways, these little nuggets of information and the way they package it. It's going to be outstanding. You know, Jack was there. I don't know if you saw the ceremonial first shot from the Masters this morning. I saw a replay of it. I wasn't up that early, I will admit. And Jack and Gary Player both with tears in their eyes. Because as a tribute to Arnold Palmer, it was a nice speech was given before that, before they teed off, and they hit it right down the fairway. I mean, they can still, these guys can outshoot me, outdrive me. It's a little sad for me.
Well, I got to tell you too, and I thought a sidebar to that was Rory McIlroy giving the great Jack Nicklaus a tip. He says, you want to hit it longer in this ceremonial thing, you know, coming up on Thursday morning. I think it was an equipment situation or something, but Rory was talking about that. He goes, I was a little embarrassed when you, all of a sudden, you want to, you know, tell Jack Nicklaus something about his game, whether it was stance or equipment or something. But Jack was very gracious, as always. He got another 15 yards on his drive here this morning as well. The other neat thing, too, is everybody that walked into Augusta National today got that badge that said Arnie's Army. I thought that was a neat thing as well. When's your next tee time, Rob? You got one set up? When's the weather break?
I don't know. I don't like this weather. I don't like this cold. I don't like the wind either. For golf, wind's the enemy number one. But I'm kind of wimpy when it comes to the cold, Mike. I don't like it. I like those warm hands so you can feel that 15-foot downhill slider go in.
We're going to have to do it sometime. You know, I'll act as your agent. Maybe you get the lead golf writer for the Sarasota Evening News and get you in a warm weather place so you can play year-round. How's that?
Not bad, not bad. I'll have to think about it.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming on, Rob. Thanks, for as always. Great hearing your voice. And you, like a lot of folks, and the millions will be tuned in from their television sets and their devices, watching the 2017 Masters. Thanks, Rob.
Hit him straight, Mike. Thanks.
That's Rob Oller, the Columbus Dispatch, golf writer here on Drive Time. As always, our guest up here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations, or visit Vito's.com. Special tonight, how about this? Giant one-topper, $9. Visit Vito's.com. TAS Electronics Sports Weather Update right around the corner. By the way, four-star window tint professionally installed on your vehicle for $149. That's at TAS Electronics. Little weather around the corner as well. Brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.
The Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. My name's, again, Mike Miller. You just heard it. ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, coming to you for the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. How about this one? Jeep Compass High Altitude. Jeep Patriot High Altitude. How about this? Your choice, $138 a month. That's for a 36-month lease. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Baseball season underway. By the way, you just heard it from Frank. Tigers getting blown out in Chicago today by a score 11-2. If you love baseball, season is underway. By the way, over 2.5 million players have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. How about this special? Tomorrow, $250,000 MLB Grand Slam special with $50,000 to the first place winner. That is a FanDuel. That is baseball. Of course, Masters Golf on FanDuel as well. I'm having a good time with it. I hope you do too. Joining us now is Bob Duth, author, writer, historian, especially in the photography side of things. I've seen some of his great pictorials that he's put together when it comes to professional hockey. I know one thing Bob Duth is not going to miss, and that's the press box at Joe Louis Arena. Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm well, Mike. How are you?
Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it. First event there, of course, was back in 1979. University of Michigan taking on the University of Detroit in a basketball game. This weekend, of course, the Montreal Canadiens come to town. That's on a Saturday night. Devils come in on Sunday, and that is it for the Joe Louis Arena. I guess being master of the obvious here, it's about time. But still, a lot of history and a lot of different areas in that building.
Yeah, there's been a lot of history and a lot of exciting games, certainly, but a few of us who've had to work there for several decades in some cases, we're sitting around this week and trying to come up with a list of things that we'll miss about the place, and we're still trying to figure out one.
Believe me, I'm with you 100%, one of the worst broadcast locations maybe in the history of hockey. And listen, I know it's not about, it's about us. Let's put a little tongue in cheek there, but that place was the worst. And everybody knows the story. The architects, and when they built Joe Louis Arena, they forgot to build a press box. So what do? They knock the last three rows out, put a bench up there, and everybody stands around and runs into each other. But as we mentioned, some great events there, a lot of history. I mean, the first thing you notice when you walk into that building is the banners. You walk through the concourse. I think the late Mike Ilitch, to be honest with you, and I read something last week in this, you know, really, he almost turned into an interior decorator, along with Jimmy Devolano, to say, you know what, this is our building. Let's display some of the history.
Yeah, and from a revenue standpoint, I remember talking to Jimmy D years ago about, you know, when all these, in the mid-90s, when they started building all these new rinks like the United Center in Chicago and then Air Canada Center in Toronto and the new rinks in Boston and Montreal. And he said at the time that there really wasn't an appetite for a new rink in Detroit because from a revenue point of view, they couldn't make more money. They couldn't get, you wouldn't want to get more seats than you have there. And he said they couldn't get more private boxes into a new place than they had there. So he said from that point of view, there really wasn't a need for a new place. Now, we could list 1,001 other reasons why they needed a new place then and why they need one now. But, you know, that's what drives ownership, certainly, is can we make more money with a new place?
Well, great events over the years, including concerts of sorts, Seeger, and I think I saw years ago, I saw the Who there. Pistons played there as well, the Detroit Drive, the arena football team as well. You know what I saw today, and it kind of shocked me, and he did have a fight at the old Olympia Stadium, and that was Joe Louis, Bob Duth. But Joe Louis, of course, Joe Louis Arena, Joe Louis was never in the Joe Louis Arena. That kind of stunned me a little bit. There wasn't some type of ceremony while the Brown Bomber was still living that he made his way to the Joe Louis Arena.
I guess they tried to get him to come to the Red Wings opener, but it never worked out. I don't know if he had other commitments or what. They didn't really explain why he didn't show up, but there was an effort made early in the building's existence to try to get him there for an event, and it just never came to be. So it would have been nice to see, and you know, it's sad to say that, you know, other than Madison Square Garden, really that's kind of the last dinosaur that's not a corporate-named arena now.
You know, on the other side of this, I've always told people that, you know, I was very fortunate to have a good run there for a decade, the National Hockey League. And, you know, you speak of buildings. I just always thought I was fortunate that when I first started in 93, Boston Garden was still standing. I did the last regular season or playoff game in the hockey game in the history of the Boston Garden, Chicago Stadium. I think I had a two-year run there where the Chicago Stadium was still up, the Montreal Forum, Old Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, even the old arena in St. Louis, and the old Fabulous Forum, Jack Kent Cook's Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles. So I guess I was very happy for a couple of years anyways that I got to see some of the old venues, which leads to my next question in a roundabout way. I was reading today an interview that Paul Woods did, and he basically said the players loved the old Olympia so much, they were disappointed when they originally moved into the Joe Louis Arena.
That was funny, doing some research this week to get my Joe Louis farewell stories together. I came across a quote from Ted Lindsay, who was GM of the Red Wings when they made the move to Joe. And after they lost their first game, he grumbled, "The only difference between this place and Olympia is it's got 5,000 more seats."
Well, I got to tell you, for a kid that used to hop in his Chevy and drive up to Red Wing practices every now and then, there was a lot to be said about the venues, of course, that we just mentioned and talked about. I know you did a story and you showed me some video the last time I saw you about the Little Caesars Arena. I mean, really, I guess the bizarre thing here to me was a change in architecture late because the Pistons now, of course, moving downtown. Any updates or have you done any stories? And that video, I'm sure, is still floating around. Or your thoughts on the new building?
Well, I have heard some speculation that there's been significant cutbacks from the original plans in terms of cost. So I even heard rumbling that at one point they were contemplating removing the practice facility from the plan, which the Wings, of course, vehemently opposed and ended up winning out, and there will be a practice rink. But there was a lot of really impressive bells and whistles that were on the table when they first started planning, and I understand that the cost of those were prohibitive, and they've eliminated a number of them. So I'm kind of curious to see, from having seen the, you know, kind of, they call it the blue sky dream of this would be nirvana, to what is reality of, you know, how many of these fancy technical advances that they were discussing end up actually being in the thing when it opens.
I haven't been down 75 in a while, maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks or so when I was heading up north to do a game. And from the outside, anyways, progress just banging and banging along here. Hey, have you heard anything? Bob Duff, of course, joins us here on Drive. Have you heard anything this weekend? I'm sure they have a ton of things planned. Anything that stands out to you as far as, you know, a commemorative celebration or anything like that? Any dignitaries coming back? Have you heard anything?
Well, I did get a call from the Wings asking me to help them hunt down Wayne Maxner, so I don't know if you consider him a dignitary, but former Wings coach, who's, I guess they're trying to get as many people back as they can for the farewell night. I think it'll be similar to what you saw in Toronto, where they had you know, players from every era that had played at the Gardens when the Gardens closed down, and I think they want to do a similar thing, have players going right back to when it opened in 1979, right up to the present day guys. So I would imagine you're going to see a whole host of former Red Wings there. They certainly are cashing in. I think I saw there you can buy one of the warm-up pucks, a game-used warm-up puck, for $30.
Wow. And $300 a ticket, I'm hearing, up at the Joe Louis Arena if you want to get one to get to one of the final games Sunday against New Jersey. Hey, before I let you go, number one, are you working on anything? I want to hear about it. And number two, any thoughts on the 25-year run? And what are you hearing on Ken Holland and Blashill? There's all sorts of things that are floating around out there. I know you said on this show, and other people have said it as well, you know, the last time the Red Wings did not make the playoffs, there were wholesale changes everywhere in the Red Wings organization. Do you anticipate anything like that after Sunday?
No, from people I've talked to in the organization and other people in hockey, they don't expect either Holland or Blashill to be let go. I think they're going to get, you know, it's been 25 years and they knew this was coming. They wouldn't admit it, but obviously you can't stay in the hunt forever. And now I think they're going to give these guys at least one season to try to right the ship and see what happens. But, you know, they've certainly been looking at a lot of their future in the last couple of weeks. We've seen Svechnikov. We've seen Robbie Russo. You know, now we're going to see, they signed Chalowski, so their first round pick from last year. So we'll see. I imagine at best he'll be in Grand Rapids next year, although since he's 19, they could put him in the Western League. His rights belong to Prince George, so it's possible he could play junior next year. But they're certainly making moves to begin the process of trying to figure this out, but I think everyone has to realize it's not going to happen overnight. There's not a lot of superstars coming down the pike to save this team, and they're going to have a few rough years ahead, I think.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, and not only because, you know, where the Red Wing organization is right now, Bob Duff, but you look at the teams in the East, and, you know, right off the top of your head, you can fire off eight teams there that are going in the opposite direction. And I don't see a lot of those teams fading. So it's not only what direction Detroit is heading in. Columbus is a prime example. Columbus is going to make the playoffs the way it looks now for years to come. And Montreal and Boston and, you know, a lot of these teams aren't going anywhere. So that's the other side of this thing for the Detroit Red Wings. Toronto's getting better. So, again, it's going to be a tough road.
Carolina's another good example of that. Carolina's
absolutely
like coming. And,
yeah,
you know,
no
you look at,
about it.
I was talking the other night about, you know, often it's about being bad in the right year. Like the Maple Leafs certainly, and the Oilers picked the right year to be bad. They got Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews. The kid, Patrick kid, that's supposed to be number one in this year's draft, I've talked to scouts who said if he was 18 last year, he wouldn't have gone higher than 10th. So this is not the year to have a high pick in the lottery. They're not a lot of franchise players coming out of this draft. So it's kind of like,
you know, I want to ask you that, Bob. You know, I saw Connor McDavid for 2 years in Erie, leading the National Hockey League in scoring. I didn't, of course, get to see Austin Matthews. Are you surprised at how quickly? Listen, I understand the scouts. I understand projections. And guys get labeled certain ways, and especially both those guys. You know, their expectations were absolutely unbelievable. But, you know, I'm surprised at the level of their success. Are you?
Yes and no. I mean, McDavid, as you say, we both got to see a lot of him, and you could see that kid was a unique talent. There was something there, like you saw in Gretzky, like you saw in Mario Lemieux. You knew this kid. And the way I remember talking to scouts leading up to the draft when they were comparing McDavid and Eichel, who were going to be the top two picks, and the way they said it was, Eichel's going to make your team better. McDavid's going to make your team one of the best in the NHL for the next 10 years.
Well, that has happened indeed. What are you working on, Bob?
I just finished a book. It's a series that Triumph Books does out of the U.S. of different teams. It's called If These Walls Could Talk, and I did it with Ken Daniels, the Red Wings television play-by-play guy, and it's kind of this stories from Ken's career of covering the team and, you know, some of the characters and the weird and wonderful moments that have taken place, you know, since he's been there in 97, and even delves back into his early days when he was the play-by-play guy for the Leafs and for Hockey Night in Canada. So there's some pretty crazy stories, all kind of behind-the-scenes stuff that people normally wouldn't know. So that'll be out in the fall. And the other one I'm working on...
Usual Suspects. Go ahead.
Yeah, usual places. The other one I'm working on, I'm still writing it right now, is going to be a look back at the NHL's first season in 1917 and just kind of showing how, really how very close the league came to never getting off the ground. And it was a real, well, certainly during World War One, the hockey wasn't a priority. And it was very, very close to being a one-and-done season. And, you know, pro hockey back then was nothing like it is today, and it's kind of what I'm trying to show in this book is the difference is you know, these guys all had regular jobs and would play hockey at night.
Well, good stuff there. Am I going to see you in May for the Memorial Cup?
I would say no right now.
Well, we'll see if we can work on that. Thanks for coming on, as always, Bob. Great having you on. Great talking Joe Louis Arena, little NHL and the Red Wings as well. Somewhere down the road, we'll reach out again. Thanks a lot.
All right. Talk to you, Mike.
Bob Duff, author, writer, historian, two new books out, If These Walls Could Talk, talking about behind-the-scenes stuff for the Red Wings and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Things, of course, you probably have not heard over the years. Back to close it out. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. This show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. This is ESPN 106.5. The
Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Hockey fans, by the way, Frozen Four get underway tonight. NCAA Hockey Championships. We'll have it here on the ticket tonight. Always a great time of the year for the college players. Special thanks to Rob Aller. Rob, of course, Columbus Dispatch, golf writer. Covered a ton of majors in his career. Bob Duff talking about the Joe Louis Arena. Of course, last game at the Joe is Sunday. New Jersey Devils come to town. Montreal is in town on Saturday night. All the guests on this show appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations or visit Vito's.com. Special tonight, giant one-topper, $9. Vito's Pizza. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody, from the Superstore. Producer was Frank Gargano. Good job, Frank. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.